Michael was brought up in church, frequent, regular church goer with his family, heard the gospel call every Sunday, and every time rejected it. The preacher would say to him, "Come to Jesus, you're welcome to Jesus, take Jesus, receive Jesus." And every time Michael heard this, he said, "No, no, no, and no." Years passed of hearing the gospel and rejecting the gospel. He still came to church, maybe not quite so regularly, but one Sunday when he came, he heard the same gospel, heard the same gospel call, heard the preacher say, "Will you have Jesus? Will you take Jesus? Will you receive Jesus? Will you welcome Jesus?" And something in Michael changed. The Lord worked in his heart to show him Jesus in a new light. He saw a new beauty, and he began to feel drawn to him in a way he had never done before. And instead of saying, "No, no, no, no," he wanted to say, "Yes, yes, yes, yes." But now there were new questions in his mind. No longer was it the preacher saying, "Will you have Jesus? Will you take Jesus? Will you receive Jesus?" But now for Michael, his question was, "Will Jesus have me? Will Jesus take me? Will Jesus welcome me? Will Jesus receive me? After all I have done and not done, after all my rejections of Jesus, is Jesus really going to welcome me?" Well, maybe you're Michael today. Maybe you have that question. It may be, like Michael, you have never come to know Jesus as your Savior. You've never put your faith in Him alone for your salvation. But maybe over these days of new focus on Jesus, maybe through circumstances in your life, you're drawn to Him in a way you've never known before, but will He have me? Or maybe you have been a Christian. You've known Jesus, you've put your trust in Him, but you've wandered for many months, maybe many years, and again, you're wondering, will Jesus welcome me back? It's a painful question, a question that vexes many. And that's a question that Jesus answers so wonderfully in this passage for us today. He answers it so encouragingly. Will Jesus welcome me? Well, let's just see what Jesus says. Let's look for proof as well as an answer. An answer that comes with incontrovertible and irrefutable proof that yes, Jesus will welcome us. We see that first proof in this, that Jesus came to us. Jesus came to us. Use that to encourage yourself to come to Jesus. Look at verse 38. Jesus says, "I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of Him that sent me." Here we have Jesus' great statement of His willingness to come. But behind it is the will of the Father, that He should come. And that's brought before us in verse 37. "All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out." So here Jesus takes us even behind His own will to the will of His Father in heaven. And He says, "Before I willed to come here, the Father willed that I do come here. Before time began, the Father chose an innumerable number of people. He chose them and He gave them to His Son. And he gave them to his son with a plan. A plan that his son should come and die for them, so that they would come to him for salvation. The Father sent. The Father gave his son a people. The Father gave his son a plan. And the Father gave his son to this people. The Father sent. And the Son came. I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. So, when the Father gave the Son this plan, the Son didn't negotiate. He didn't object. He didn't edit the plan. He didn't add to the plan. He didn't come with another plan. He didn't come with a counter proposal. When the Father said, Son, this is the people, this is the plan, and this is your role, the Son of God said, I come. I come down from heaven to do the will of him that sent me. I submit my will to his. I align my will to his. I join my will to his so that there is no overlap, but we are completely in sync. Jesus came to us. He came as the servant of God to be the Savior of sinners. That should be, in and of itself, a massive encouragement when we are asking that question, can I come to Jesus? And if I come, will he welcome me? Remember these words of Jesus. I have come down from heaven. I've come from such an amazing place to such a low place. I was reading recently about it's the lowest caste in India. You know, there are four main castes in India. Highest, medium, low, and the lowest. And everyone's in one of these by birth. You cannot change. And in that lowest caste, there are tiers of lower, 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 and lowest. And at the very lowest, I can't quite remember the name of it, there's a caste, a group within this caste who are called the Untouchables. And their job is to go down into the sewers of India and unblock them. And they do so just with a pair of shorts on. You can even see pictures of them on the internet. The drain lid is removed. And down they go, and that's all, it's just themselves. They don't have tools, and they are paid. That's their job. They are paid to go down and unclog the sewers. That's why they're called the Untouchables. And you think of that, you think, yuck, how could you ever do that? How could you ever descend so low? It's got that icky factor, doesn't it? It's repulsive. But however awful, terrible, horrendous that is, believe it or not, for Jesus, it was an even greater coming down than that. Coming down from heaven's glories to this filthy earth surrounded by sin and sinners, and then to be treated like refuse, like an outcast, to die a cursed death, to unclog the sin that polluted this world and his people. He became the untouchable. That's what he came, and that's what he was saying when he was saying, I have come down from heaven. He's saying, I've come down from that height to such a depth. So if you've been in the sewers of life, the sewers of sin, and you think, how can I ever come to Jesus? How can I ever be welcomed by him? Remember, he himself has become an untouchable one for the untouchable. He immersed himself in the sin of this world without becoming sinful himself to save sinners like us. And that shouldn't be an icky thing to you. It should be a praise thing to you. It should just make our hearts well up with praise and wonder. It should take away all hesitation about coming to Jesus, all hesitation about whether he will welcome us or not. Can I come? Hear Jesus saying, I come down from heaven. Jesus came to us so we can come to him. But how do I come? You say, come to Jesus. How do I come? I know how to come to church. I know how to come to work. I know how to come and meet someone beside me. But how do I come to Jesus? Well, what does that actually mean? Is that not just one of these religious cliches that everyone says and no one really knows what it means? How can I come to Jesus? Well, let's look at that. We come to Jesus in this way. Look at verse 35. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. Whoever believes in me shall never thirst. Verse 37. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. Verse 44. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. So here's Jesus repeatedly talking about people coming to him. So what does that actually look like? Well, we come to Jesus, first of all, because the Father draws us to him. That's the first part of coming to Jesus. It is the Father's drawing. Look at verse 44 again. No one can come to me unless the Father who has sent me draws him. And notice that little word there. Very important. No one can come to me. Now, none of us like to be told that there's something we cannot do. Whenever somebody says you can't do that, there's something in it that rises up in us, isn't there? And it says, yes, I can, and yes, I will. And in fact, we live in a day of unprecedented opportunity where we can do things that our fathers, our grandfathers, and grandmothers could never do. It's a day of unprecedented ability and capacity, mobility. In fact, there are great movements around with can in the title. Yes, we can, or yes, you can. We can, they can. You can search for the hashtags. They're everywhere. Can. But however much we can do in this world, and however much we can do now that could not be done in the past, there's one thing that has always been a can't, is still a can't, and will always be a can't. It's never going to change. And it's this can't here. No one can come to me. You can't come to me, Jesus says. And it's strange, isn't it? He said, come to me. If you come to me, I'll give you this. If you come to me, I'll keep that promise. Come. No one can come. This is a will problem that Jesus is pointing out in the human heart. It's a will problem. However free our wills are to do other things, this is one thing our wills are not free to do. We don't come because we won't come. We don't come because we don't want to come. We can't come to Jesus, although Jesus can come to us. He came to us willingly, but we have no will to come to him. This isn't just a disability, it's an inability. It's not just a handicap, it's actually an impossibility. Just let that phrase sink in. No one can come. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who we are. There's not another rule for churchgoers. There's not another rule for people who have been baptized. This is true of the whole human race. We are born into this world with this big can't written over us that stays with us. And it should create a sense of helplessness in us. But not a paralyzing sense of helplessness. A sense of helplessness that drives us to the helper. That's what Jesus is doing here. Because notice what he points to next. No one can come to me unless, aha, there's hope. There's a little chink of light. Unless the Father who sent me draws him. And this is where the Holy Spirit enters the picture. The Father draws by sending the Holy Spirit into the hearts of the cannots to turn them into cans. And this is a supernatural, divine power that we cannot work up ourselves. In Psalm 110, we read this, "Your people shall be willing in the day of your power." There's a day of power required for a can't to become a can, a will not to become a will. And that's what's being described here in this phrase, "No one can come to me unless the Father who has sent me draw him." The word there for draw is net. It's the same word used in John 21 for the disciples going to catch fish. Now, I've done a lot of fishing and I've never met a fish who wanted to jump into my net. It doesn't exist. And there is no sinner in the world, no person in the world who is born with a want to jump into Jesus' net. It's just impossible. It's just not there. That's not who we are. That's not how sin has left us. That's why we need this net, this divine net to be sent out by God into our hearts to capture us. And to draw us in, that we need the Holy Spirit as a divine persuader to work in us, to make us willing to jump into the net of the gospel. How does he do that? He does it by teaching us. Notice what he goes on to say in verse 45. "It is written in the prophets, and they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me." So we come because the Spirit draws, and we come because the Spirit teaches. He draws by teaching. And there's a massive difference, there's a world of difference, there's a life or death difference between being taught by a preacher or a teacher and being taught by God. There's a massive difference. All I can do, all any teacher can do, is put facts in your heads. God alone can take these facts into the heart and change us with them. And make us willing in the day of his power. This is what God does. He teaches us and persuades us about Jesus in such a way that we are drawn to him. We are magnetized to him. We are captured by him. We don't come unwillingly. We don't come reluctantly. Once he works, we're not coerced. We're not forced. We're not compelled. We are drawn. It's irresistible. It cannot be argued against. We may fight a bit. We may go forwards and backwards a bit, but ultimately, you're coming in. He's reeling you in. He's got you. And it's the most wonderful feeling in the world, isn't it? At least in retrospect. At the time, it can be a struggle. It can be a battle. It can be I don't know what's happening to me. We come because the Father teaches us powerfully, persuasively, and savingly about Jesus in such a way that we must come. We want to come. We will to come. We come to Jesus in this way. So let's praise God for his drawing. If you have come to Jesus, if you know Jesus as your Savior, if you are attracted to Jesus, if you found Jesus persuasive, it's because God has worked. He has cast and drawn you in. He's pulled you in. He's reeled you in. Out of all the fish in the sea, he's picked out you. He's targeted you. You know, you can get these sonars today, these live scopes from Garmin that will show you as you cast the bait, the lure. It will show you the fish, the depth of that, how far they're at. You can actually see the lure going down, and you can see the fish coming in. It's like a computer game. And this is how God works. There's no chance. There's no question as to who he's after and whether he'll get them. He casts with a specific verse, a specific sermon, a specific chapter, and he casts one that's perfectly suited to you at exactly the right time, when you're exactly at the right stage of hunger, and he'll capture you, he'll hook you, and he'll pull you in, and once you're in, you'll rejoice. And if you're in, let's rejoice. It's a wonder. It's one of the sweetest verses in the Bible, isn't it? No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. And if you haven't yet known that drawing, pray for it. Pray for it. Ask for it. When the gospel's preached, the divine fisherman is on the bank and he's waiting for fish to say, me, cast my way. Put your hook deep into my heart and draw me in. Don't leave me out here. You can pray for that. That's one thing you can do. You can pray. You can call. And he always answers, always, as we'll see shortly. The Father dispatched, the Son died, and the Spirit drew. You might say, well, I don't remember being drawn. There wasn't that moment in time, but how do I know then that I am one of his? If you love Jesus, you've been drawn. If you find Jesus attractive and compelling and you want to spend time with him, you're in the boat. You've come. I hope that encourages you. We can come by the power of the Spirit. How can I be sure that Jesus will have me, though? You know, sometimes you catch a fish you really don't want. You don't realize until it's just at the boat. And so you kind of shake it off. Does Jesus do that sometimes? Once he sees who he's really got, let's get rid of him. Does he do that? Well, let's see what Jesus says here. Go back to verse 37. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. I will never cast out. He's looking at this Sinner coming to him, being drawn to him, believing in him, and he sees him, and he brings him into the boat. He will never throw him back out. Never. 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 In fact, there are two negatives here. It's never, never cast out. And we could put that positively. He will always welcome us in. Always. There's never been anyone in the whole history of the universe who has come and had the door slammed in their face. Never anyone who's come and said hi and Jesus has said bye. Everyone who comes, he says, everyone, I will welcome. I will never, ever cast out. I'll never reject. I'll never expel. It doesn't matter who you are, where you've been, what you've done. Doesn't matter. Let every objection, every concern, every possible obstacle be swept away by this verse. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes, I will never cast out. There's a song by Aaron Schutt. It goes like this. It's called More Than Welcome. Here we stand before his throne, fully seen and fully known, where sin accused, now mercy flows. We are accepted. We are more than welcome here. Draw us nearer. Draw us nearer. Boldly we come because there's nothing to fear. Draw us nearer. Draw us nearer. Boldly we come because you welcome us here. Oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus. Mighty and vast and wild and free, like an ocean over me. Oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus. We are accepted. We are more than welcome here. Do you get that? That's really what Jesus is saying in this whole passage. You are more than welcome here. He welcomes us when we believe. He welcomes us when we sin. He doesn't say, well, when you've sinned, stay away for a while and put some things right. Make some improvements, then you can come and then he'll welcome. No, don't hesitate. Don't delay. Don't wait. Don't go and put things right. You'll never do that. He's just saying, you're more than welcome here, now, you. Draw us nearer. Draw us nearer. And he says this three or four times in the passage about those who come to me, he will raise up on the last day. He's saying you're in for an eternal welcome. You are welcomed by the gospel. You are welcomed when you've sinned and backslidden. You are welcomed when you die and your soul goes to glory. You're welcomed at the great resurrection on the last day. You are more than welcome here. Draw us nearer. Draw us nearer. What a great promise. What a great promise. Whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. Don't doubt this ever. Don't doubt it. Don't question it. It's an unbreakable promise. It's been a pillow promise for many Christians to die on. And it can be a pillow promise for you to live on. As you go to sleep each night, come with this promise and say, Lord, it's been a bad day, but I come and you welcome me. Jesus comes to us, we come to Jesus, and Jesus welcomes us. When Jesus says welcome, he never says goodbye. Never, ever. So, where are you? Are you far away? Have you never come? Are you coming and yet doubting his welcoming? Come to this verse. Have all your doubts and questions and hesitations demolished. Hear these words as though Jesus was standing right here today in front of you, as he is in his word. And he's saying to each one of you, every single one, everyone. There's no one left out. You come to me. I will never cast you out. You come to me, you are more than welcome. I cannot welcome you enough. Draw me nearer. Draw me nearer. Let's pray. Will you welcome us? You have said so clearly, Lord. You have the warmest of welcomes awaiting us. Welcome or draw each one of us so that we can come to you and we're welcomed by you. And please even draw those who have rejected you for so long so that they welcome you and are welcomed by you. And make us welcomers in your name for all. Amen.